Blog Talk Radio.
Storybox Audio. Good evening and welcome to the Sunday Show with our co-hosts, Wayne Johnson and author Ron Feynman. I'm the producer, Gwen Berry, and this is the Week in Review of the Bread and Circus in D.C. and everywhere else. How are you guys doing this week?
I'm doing fine, and I've got the both of you doing well.
Yes,
I'm
very
good
here in Annapolis. All's going well in Annapolis. Thank you.
Yeah, Annapolis is great. All those photos you send me, Wayne, you know, and I've also been to Annapolis once, so that's really great. Yeah.
I'm loving it. I'm loving Annapolis here.
Yes.
I am home.
Oh, I can help us. They have some great places to visit.
Oh,
yeah, certainly it's better than Ohio, isn't it, Wayne, the way things have gone?
especially in this day and age.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Well, here's one for you. In fact, you mentioned Ohio. Let me get off on this real quick tangent. I was talking with one of the those who I knew out there. He wasn't a musician, but I knew him. And he posted about, well, ever since, West Virginia has an open carry, crime dropped down 92%, which I knew was bullshit, right? And I told him, I said, well, you know what? Here's a map. And I sent to him in Ohio, since they have passed open carry and stand your ground now in Ohio, the amount of violent crime, and it's like little flags, you know, of each and every incident, it actually outlines the state of Ohio perfectly and is solidly chock full. Facebook didn't find his posting of all these guys with their guns and their rifles saying, you know, open and carry and crime's gone down, but because I posted that here is the actual crime report from Facts, that was against community standards, and they removed it. I'm like,
hell? I'm hearing a lot of crapola about Facebook removing posts and on both sides of the road, and it's like,
well, they couldn't remove him because I reported him. After I got removed, I said, what about this? He's just showing he is promoting, walk around with your gun and promote violent crime on those who you think have offended you and stand your ground and shit. Oh, they didn't find any problem with that.
Well, you know, it's ridiculous. I will say this. One of the things that kind of shocked me again this week was the incredible heat index and the heat wave that I guess Vegas went up to 130. Well, 117.
And also, Oregon and Washington State has had all-time records, Portland and Seattle.
Talking to Glenn earlier, Professor. Death Valley has recorded the highest temperature ever for that area of 130 degrees in Death Valley.
Well, actually, the all-time record is 134, but it was supposed to be in the 130s now. I don't know whether it's broken that, but it is the highest since 1913, it sounds like, at least,
luckily,
nobody lives there. But still,
we're cooler in the tropics, you know. I'm kind of glad I'm going to Alaska.
it should be over 90 there.
Everything's melting in Alaska. That's the problem.
It isn't, first of all.
No?
And second of all, it's still just above freezing at first light when light comes, when it goes through its change. The temperature drops down. Their average is about 60 degrees right now.
Well, it's the summer, but I'm just saying that overall, you know, there is melting going on in Alaska, as we know.
Yeah, there is some, but it's not as bad as apparently where the ice sheets are really big on the Antarctic and the Arctic circles. Those are like, that's like being at sea where the sun becomes a big mirror. You know?
Yeah.
And it thaws the ice. I mean, what is it, the ice truckers, they only run through the deep winter because the ice is firm enough for them to get across on. You know? That's kind of interesting. And then, of course, there's a crazy thing that happened today with Virgin Galactic.
Yes. Richard Branson's a hero to everybody, I guess, today. And so so the other two billionaires come along and try to outdo him.
Yeah, yeah. Bezos with his and here's something that I was watching that, and I was thinking to myself, if you think back to the 1930s, Howard Hughes used his personal wealth and developed the airplanes and stuff that broke the airspeed records in his day.
Yes.
So it's like history does repeat itself.
Yes.
My private investments, I had a lot of wealth, and he, and then of course he went into making movies and things like that. But yes, he was had some flight records in his day that he was able to fund for himself. So this is kind
That's
of
true.
Going along the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I must say that my opinion about these three billionaires is I think the one I can most tolerate is Branson. I think Jeff Bezos is a horror, and as a person, Elon Musk. I don't think Branson's all as bad as them, in quotes, as far as his behavior. But maybe I'm wrong, but my impression is if I had to vote for one of them, I'd vote for him.
Well, Branson has a lot of good PR, and he's more personable than Bezos because he posts on
Musk.
Musk posts on social media, but most of his posts get bad time. Branson, on the other hand, posts some really kind of, I've liked a few of his posts myself on Instagram. He's people friendly, and he has the positive and progressive kind of stance on social media. So people are not seeing the whole picture like any of us do on social media, but he has a good standing. So that's why people like him. He's personable. Bezos apparently avoids it.
He's also a lot older than the other two. Branson is 70, Bezos is 57, and I think Musk is, 50. So there's a big difference, almost a generation between them,
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bezos appears so much younger at heart and so much younger in his activities than the other two, too. While Musk is kind of, but not as much as Branson. He gets around.
Yes, he does. Yep. Yep. But the wealthiest is Bezos. And if he hadn't cheated on his wife, I mean, my God, he'd be worth even more.
Really?
Crazy.
Yeah, he had to give half of his wealth away when he and his wife got divorced, but he's still the richest man in the world.
I think it's over $200 billion, and Mackenzie Scott, his former wife, is like $60 billion. So can you imagine if they were still connected?
It's also a lot of paper money, guys, so,
Well, true, but...
is true. It's all based on his stock, and...
I was reading Mackenzie Scott got married to another man, and I hear he's a high school teacher. I said, can you imagine being a high school teacher marrying a person that has $60
billion? he's just going to be the sex slave.
The only thing to say there, and as a woman, I'm all for it too, is prenup. Prenup. That's the only way you can go, unless you've known somebody so long, and it's just or built with them or lived with them. It's kind of odd, but that's the life of that's the way things go in the world of money that we live in. So,
well, that's true too.
Gee,
I keep telling people my wife Carol was my second marriage, and I tell people I said, "Yeah, she married me for my money. The lack of it, she felt sorry for me."
Well, I was divorced years ago, and I had people tell me, marry a rich woman, widow or whatever. And I said, no, I don't want that. I want to earn my own income. I don't want to depend on some woman or anybody, and I'm proud that I happened.
There you go.
Yeah.
My mother had a saying, of course, to two daughters, marry them young and rich and raise them as you like them.
That's right.
Yeah.
You see, I was already grown. Carol couldn't write me over again.
It's a good philosophy. The coronavirus is spreading worse in L.A.
For those who have not been vaccinated, almost all the cases are that.
Yeah, well, the Delta variant. Huh? It's the Delta variant. And there's a lot of talk about the numbers rising now that's bubbling up to the surface, I noticed this week, just among people. I don't watch the news lately, so.
Right. Well, here's a little fact. On July 11th, today, back in 1953, the polio vaccine takes off. So back in 1953, people wanted their kids, they wanted their own vaccination, because that was the scourge of the day. You know,
yes, nobody questioned it, at least that I could see from news reports. We didn't have people saying, oh, I don't want to have this. It's just today,
right.
Supposedly more educated people in quotes, but I wonder that we have all these morons who don't care. And don't, even if they don't care about themselves, they don't care about anybody else. And you should not only think about me, you should think about the effect on others.
Well,
but they don't care.
We didn't have
people I know and you know.
Yeah. We didn't have the propaganda, the nihilistic propaganda of well, don't get this vaccine because Bill Gates just wants to put a computer chip in you so he can trace you. And the world is flat.
Yeah. And also people now attacking Dr. Fauci and, you know, calling him a villain. You know, you don't have to necessarily agree with everything, but I think he's a hero overall, and he should be not be subject to attack and need protection, you know.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. I agree. Yeah, well, it's really strange what you think should happen in a change of political weather is not completely happening at all. It's still a big and plus it seems it's really disappointing to me. I just want to say this.
Oh, it is, but we have that 50-50 Senate we're writing about now. It's unbelievable.
You know what? It seems to me that the Democrats could do a hell of a lot more about, like, I mean, the same old thing. They're not cleaning the decks. They're like standing around with their hands in their pockets trying to figure out what the next move is all the time. I mean, you do see motion and you do see movement, but take a look at what's happening. And I know a lot of it has to do with the judges that were appointed during the Trump era, but
Supreme Court is a disaster, the way they're going. They're so right-wing now, like they were in the 1930s. It's disgraceful.
Well, but then let's flip to a positive side is the current administration has removed that criminal treasonous bastard that Trump put in charge of the Social Security Department because he was put there to disassemble Social Security because Mitch McConnell was preaching that from the floor. These entitlements is costing this country too much money. We need to end Social Security.
Yeah.
It's not.
He's refusing to resign. He's going to be online tomorrow, he says. Can you believe this?
Oh, yeah, well,
what?
You know.
What?
Go ahead.
I missed that.
Go ahead, Ron.
No, I'm saying that the person who was being fired refuses to accept that, and he says he's going to be online tomorrow, you know, on Monday, next day. He's not accepting the firing. That's crazy.
Yeah, he's going to show up at work when? Because he's not going to accept
the guy
fired.
Appointed by Trump for overseeing the Social Security Department?
Yes. Six months ago.
They'll just send marshals in to take him out. And if they that's the Democrats on their ass again.
There we go.
Well, he's saying he'll be online. He didn't say he'll show up physically. So they'll have to block him, I guess.
They have to remove him from all priorities into the administration.
Right. All the security clearances, all the,
where is this news coming from? Is this another Tucker Carlson report or something?
No. This is him. He's made that statement publicly himself.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. He's not giving up. He's supposed to be there at 2025, he says. So he's not leaving. That's what he claims, his character.
It's at the president's, pleasure. Who's going to serve as head of administration?
Yeah.
So, you know, getting rid of, I mean, and when is he going to get rid of that idiot in the postal department?
Give him
the
time. That's
the committee, so he can't do it on his own. The committee, you know, he has to have a majority of the committee to do that. That's a little different, unfortunately.
Well, you know what? It's screwing up a lot of people.
Oh, of course it is.
I can tell you that from the personal perspective. And I understand from, you know, my postmaster that it's all about whatever way the politics are riding in certain postal departments and in certain cities. And that's just wrong. That's just wrong. That's a catastrophe.
Well,
here's one for you. If I have some papers I needed to send to my broker for my retirement funds, and my wife says, here, mail it from work. If she mails it from work and it sees that it's noted that it's coming from a business, it'll get there within, you know, the respectable 2 days. If it was a personal thing from the mailbox from the post office that I sent, it would take maybe anywhere from a week to 10 days. That's the kind of shit they're pulling.
Well,
that's the kind of shit that post office
pulling. True, because I ship as a business. And
right.
Mine gets picked up, and I still have boxes that take a week to get there when I'm paying for 2 day to 3 day.
Oh my God!
So it's not every time or everybody. I'm a little slow on the count myself, but when I get them out there, I keep an eye on them, and they say it'll be delivered, but then I don't see that it has been delivered until, or I hear back that it hasn't been delivered for, you know, so many days.
And the thing is, it was working just fine. It really was going well. It's when Trump put him in charge to intentionally turn it into a big discombobulating cluster.
You lose the joy, is the guy, yeah.
Yeah, right. And this is all self-inflicted.
Yeah.
They need to be removed. He needs to be removed.
Absolutely.
By the majority of the committee. It can't be done by the president himself. That's the system of the Postal Service.
Well, you know what, Ron? Then that's just wrong because it's screwing
up people's
businesses and everything, but the system needs changing big time.
Well,
it really does.
But it isn't the way it is at the moment, I'm just saying, you know.
Get you. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
What we want to have happen is not necessarily what can happen under the system we have at the moment. That's the problem, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And we have Sinema and Manchin to stand in the way of a lot to be done, and that makes it hard. The Democrats don't really have a solid 50 seats. That's the problem, you know.
Well, I really need to get them. We need to kick Marco Rubio's ass out and that idiot that was running the state, Scott. They need to be, you know. I know it's local, but still.
Yeah.
But that's next year as far as getting Rubio out, you know. That's not now.
But that ain't
well,
and
Rick
not
Scott,
in Florida.
Yeah, that's right. Rick Scott has 2 more years after. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Well, Rick
right.
Scott actually got elected in 18. He's got to 2024 to be the senator, so you can't get rid of him either, even though he was involved with Medicare fraud, but he still got elected governor in 2010. It's just unbelievable. The state of Florida is such a disaster with its leadership now, including Matt Gaetz, of course, and, of course, our governor, who my friend doesn't call Ron DeSantis. He calls him Ron DeSatan.
DeSatan, yeah, there you go. There you go.
It's really not very intelligent, and he hasn't done anything as good kicks as far as leadership going, other than what he has done to profiteer off of vaccinations. And, I mean, it goes on and on. It's unreal.
I wanted to mention, though, there seems, from what I've read, to be a breach developing between Trump and DeSantis, because when the situation happened in Surfside, apparently, I read, DeSantis asked Trump not to come a week ago and speak in Sarasota because of the event, and he refused to listen to him, and so he went ahead and did it in any way, Trump, which he didn't, I don't think he even said anything about what had happened in Surfside, and he didn't show up like Biden did, you know, to show concern. And yet, what happens is that DeSantis didn't show up for the Sarasota rally because he was down in Miami. He had no real choice. So supposedly, I've read, maybe it's not true, but I've read that Trump is upset that DeSantis is leading in many polls as the alternative to Trump in the Republican primary for 2024, and he's jealous of him, so they're having a breach develop between them over the issue of the rally that DeSantis did not attend, that that Trump insisted on having in Sarasota.
Well, that tells you a lot about just how smart the Republican Party is these days. I mean,
they are so, well, here's a good example. If they're so subservient to the campaign money and the billionaires like the Koch brothers, but because I do know a lot about Ohio, there is a ultra-conservative think tank in Cincinnati. And they're the ones that get a lot of money in there, and then they dole it out to the candidates in Ohio, and it's like, this is going to be your talking points. This is what you're going to say. And if you don't say that, the vaccination is fake, it's all fake news, it's all hoax, you don't get money, campaign money, to keep your job for the next election go around. That's why right now, Ohio, since I was out there 8 years ago now, to where
gone
they
very
are
far
today,
right. Yeah.
They have gone reactionary right. I mean, I had a black a bass player friend, musician friend, retired school teacher. Just couldn't ask for a better man placed on this earth. But he was supposed to be playing in Lancaster, Ohio. It's where one of the old Corning plants used to be. And it was a pizza place. And basically, they refused to wait on him. He is not allowed to sit in that restaurant and eat a meal. Even though he's going to be playing within a half hour, they will let him take it home and eat it at home. And now, if that isn't a regression of 1930s, 1940s Southern stuff, that's the kind of good stuff that happened. And again, they have some of them, they're pushing through restrictive abortion laws.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're trying to make it harder for people to vote. And, right now, Ohio, forget the Democrats. The Democrats have Tim Ryan, who is really the best person to get the job of Rob Portman. But now we have not just a monstrous example of Josh Mandel, who is horrible, but now J.D. Vance, the author of Hillbilly Elegy and a venture capitalist who was so against Trump, suddenly now says, I got to suck it up and I have to back Trump. So he's challenging Josh Mandel for the Senate nomination against Tim Ryan, J.D. Vance against Josh Mandel. They're both horrific.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, I can speak intelligently because I do know what's going on in Ohio. I still have a lot of friends there. Like I said, they've passed through and ramrodded through open carry. They're also now ramrodded through stand your ground. And any damn redneck outside of the city of Columbus who thinks he's been offended or threatened by a black man, he now feels he has the right to just pull out his gun and drop that man on that black man on the spot.
Well, you sure do.
Because that's where the laws are now.
You really have to navigate this country very carefully right now if rubber's on the road. And summertime is when rubber's on the road for a lot of families, and a lot of families are taking care to do that because everybody's been so cooped up for a year,
Great.
Yeah. No, I think Ohio is going to the key races of next year. Hopefully Tim Ryan, who's a moderate Democrat, will win the seat from Rob Portman, who is a conservative Republican, but not crazy. He was within reason on many issues, right? You would agree on that, Wayne?
Yes, absolutely.
Which was she was running again. In fact, so they have Republican, at least it's him, but they're going to get an extremist right winger now unless Tim Ryan can gain that seat, and that's one of the ones he needs to be gained.
That's what that think tank, that reactionary ultra-conservative think tank that's controlling the money and the Republican party within the state and the surrounding area, I should say, too. That's what they're going to be paying for. That's what they want.
Oh boy. And meanwhile, the high vaccine, the lack of vaccination is affecting southwest Missouri, that particular part of the state of Missouri, and Iowa and Nebraska and Kansas. You think, what is it these people have to be convinced about when they see 99% of the cases that lead to death or even in the hospital are people who are not vaccinated? What do people have to understand?
Well, here's the other thing, too. Along that lines, and this is what's going on, I have a very good friend. The kid is brilliant. But his grandfather was one of those that FDR had to pay a ransom to get back from the Bay of Pig invasions. He was Cuban himself, a doctor.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And my friend's name is Mitch Rath. Totally brilliant kid. I mean, whatever he reads, he remembers. Well, he got his, and I met him through blues jams, and I've played music with him. He graduated OSU a few years ago with a chemical engineering degree, and as soon as he did that, then he applied for the University of Tennessee, and they are paying a full ride for him to do his master's and his doctorate.
Wow.
There at the University of Tennessee. The kid is brilliant. He's very intelligent. Well, he also sent me this now. It's not an open secret here in Tennessee that Governor Lee others and the other lawmakers are calling for a full audit of Governor Lee's for kickbacks and the manipulation of the COVID vaccines. He's making a profit. Like, well, you need to, how many are you kicking back to me on this? He's crooked as hell, the governor of Tennessee.
And that's Marsha Blackburn's state. Then is a Marsha Blackburn who's a monstrous individual. Yeah.
So it's the status quo down there with the Republican Party down there in Tennessee of kickback to the GOP down there.
And
you want to get vaccinated?
There used to be Al Gore and other Democrats that were reasonable.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, my God.
So now it's like, what's my cut? You know, it's like a Boss Hog, Dukes of Hazzard kind of thing. You know, we're going to make it through lots of money here. We got vaccines. So that Gwen, that's what's going on. How do we cure that, Gwen?
I don't know. I just like that there's no cure. There's no cure for stupid. You know, there just simply isn't. But there is the rise of the majority, and the majority is slowly influenced to rise. You remember in the 70s and coming out of the 60s when there was so much violence and so if you were in college, you know, you saw the butt end of it and everything that happened, and of course the ending of the Vietnam War, which people were, that war got people very angry, and people were also looking at issues like, you know, not blaming Black Panthers and seeing them as more altruistic. And it comes about slowly, but when it hits, it sort of rolls. And one of the things that I've noticed ever since I was just, wearing onesies kind of thing, is that entertainment, whether it's television or it's music, or, you know, the arts in general.
Yeah.
But right now, too, a lot of it was focused on television, and now we have access to film and to even Broadway with our computers and, you know, streaming.
Oh, yeah.
And all of this. And it makes a difference. And if you take a look right now, for the last 10 years, it's been there's shows on that. It's like the change that the Cosby Show made, you know, about the about people's understanding of who Black people are and how they live, and you know, not everybody is. What I'm trying to say here is that it makes a big difference. I mean, Will and Grace came on in the 90s. I can come from a perspective of the LGBTQ community and say I've watched from the 90s till now. I mean, there's a lot of legal matters, of a lot of lawmaking and bias and prejudice that's rearing its head up right now. But there's also the fact that the majority of America is not homophobic at all. They're very supportive of the gay community and gay marriage. And right now, if you take a look at what is popular in entertainment, especially with the younger generation, it's, well, a lot of fantasy and a lot of gothic and that kind of thing, escapism. But it's also, they don't even look at people's race. I mean, I saw that my nephew, and he's 30. He never looked at people's race. One of his closest buddies was black. They all played sports together, of course, but Christopher came to our Christmas dinners with us and things. And there was just no hesitation, you know what I'm saying? And I think the majority of America is pretty much like that. There isn't a huge racism. Yet what has happened in the last, you know, 7-8 years, and the tension, what is racist is the police state. What is racist is financial institutions. What is racist is, but it isn't the people. And the people have got to stand up. And we vote every time we spend money.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. That is a very strong belief.
We vote every time that we make a choice to encourage or support organizations. We vote every time we, even when we choose to watch the media, we do.
Absolutely.
You know?
The ratings, the ratings.
Then there's the exceptions of like, and even the ratings are getting dragged over the coals because people will go to streaming now of shows that they'll cancel and find this great popularity in them. And companies like Netflix and FX or AMC will pick them up and put them further into their show, their series. It's taking a perspective.
Well, here's another thing, Lynn.
It's not the majority.
No. There's a big stink talking about contributing to those congressmen, or particularly the senators, after January the 6th. Toyota has pulled any funding to any one of those senators
that
wanted to deny January the 6th insurrection. It was not a tour group. It was not those coming in to have a look around. They came in with guns. They came in with violent intention. And Toyota says, you know what? When we turn contributor campaign contributions to the campaigns, you're not getting any of our money.
And there's also this fact, too. I mean, like Fox Nation, is it now? They're trying to hype up as much as they can on their channels. And I watch some Fox shows because they're good. I mean, not Fox News, but the Fox
Network. I know what you're saying, yes.
And there's a difference, you know. But they will hype on their channel, you know, Fox Nation. It's like they're doing all this because their main talking heads, Carlson and what's his name, Sean Hannity, and just about all of them, they're losing money on them.
Yeah,
where they've got great viewership, but nobody wants to really spend money on them because they just don't approve.
I'm trying to think what it was. Tucker Carlson made some idiotic, erroneous statement. And
yeah, like the FBI caused January 6th.
Yeah, I'm sure. Right. I can't remember now what it was, and forgive me, audience. But anyway, but what followed up was the very next thing was an ad. As soon as he made that smirky little statement with that little smirky smile he has, and then they ran one of the ads, it made it look like here's this asshole statement of racist, vile racism. Oh, and here's Ivory Liquid, you know, or something like that. It wasn't them, but, you know. And when people wrote in and said, and they had clips, you know, where they had recorded it, DVD'd it, says, this is what your ad just presented. he made his vile racist statement, and buy Irish soap. And like I said, my apologies to Procter & Gamble because it really wasn't Irish soap. But when they saw that, said, oh, no, hell no, 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 no. We, and they pulled their ads. And I can't think, I wish I'd have to do some research on that, folks.
There's several big corporations that have pulled away from any, let's just say, Trumpian activity in the media or activity in politics because they got better numbers than the freaking politicians do.
Yeah.
You know, because they're looking at purchasing power.
Right.
Yeah, I always have to say that on TV I've noticed commercials I've really changed because there's a lot of commercials that show mixed race couples or gay couples, and
that's
it's like becoming a norm, which is wonderful, and it never used to be that way, but I've noticed that a lot, you know?
Well it started a few years back. It did start a few years back.
It's really becoming much more evident now. At least I find it that way when I see commercials on the stations, you know. And that's good, of course.
Absolutely. Yeah. The inclusiveness and just holding a mirror up saying, you know, so what? Okay. We have black woman, a white man, a biracial child, and they're sitting around for a good, healthy breakfast of Cheerios.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, too. You got to remember that in, like, the 80s and the 90s, there were popular shows. Like, I watch Start Television, which has a lot of those old shows. And you would see situational television settings in TV shows. Like, one of the ones, Touched by an Angel. I'm a sucker for that stuff, but Touched by an Angel had biracial coupling. They had in the 80s, and they had gay.
Well, how about three company?
All gay guys,
two girls and a guy sharing an apartment in a very platonic relationship. There was a lot of wink, wink, nudge, nudge going on there, right? But it's like, you know, and you know what? Tell you what, I've had a female, you know, when I was going through a divorce, I had a female roommate. It was very platonic. The two bedrooms never crossed. But by God, we kept that house clean and the dishes were washed and everything like that. She was the best roommate I had than some sloppy guy.
But you take my point, don't you? I mean, I watch a show now that I guess was the 90s. In the 90s, I was running the store and then working. So I didn't see these things as I used to, or I do now. But it's a show with Annie Potts and Viola Davis. No. It's the other
Designing
one.
Women?
Women? I didn't. That's a hoot. No. It's called Any Day Now.
Oh, okay.
And I think it was after Designing Women went to the closet, you know, got put on the shelf. And it's about a black child and a white child in Birmingham that grew up as best friends. And it's a story of their family and everything. And I'm like, wow, this stuff should be showing on, you know, they should revamp this to the networks or something because people would see. It's a really great show. I like it.
I think I do remember that now that you mentioned it, yes.
It brings up some of the hardest topics, but it does so in a very plain and realistic way. And it's really quite a wonderful example of what the majority of the people, like, you know, got to remember that those horrible clashes with folks. You're talking Klan and cops. And if you take a look at the majority of these clashes, it's like when that poor girl was run down in, was it Charlottesville?
Charlottesville.
Yeah, that was Klan and cops. I mean, there's definitely something wrong with the psychological, you know, screening fraternity of the police. And I still get a kick out of NYPD Blue.
I wanted to mention white supremacists rallied in Philadelphia on the 4th of July, reminding us of what happened in Charlottesville.
Right.
It was a grace, but it happened about 2 weeks ago, I guess, or a week ago,
well, it was the 4th of July parade, and basically they were plummeted and chased out of town. But look, Philadelphia's a tough town. The people live there, that's a tough gig. But now, speaking about Charlottesville, they just finished this weekend here, removed Robert E. Lee's statue. And also
and Stonewall Jackson and
yeah, Stonewall
Lewis
Jackson.
And Clark.
Oh,
yeah.
They quietly just went in, hoisted them up, and drove off with them. Just take
yep.
them down.
Well, I got in trouble a couple years ago at and you know, I live in the same neighborhood, but I was in a different house. And the boys across the street were Southern boys, you know, good old boys.
Right.
But they didn't exactly hang white hoods in their closets either. They just flew the stars and bars in the garage where they were tipping their cans. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you know, it's funny, you know, you call yourself patriots, but, you know, look at the stars and bars. Didn't you? That was the losers. I had to skip home quickly. You know, and the histories are written by the winners, and none of the
yeah.
history in this country is without some tarnish here and there, especially about
yeah.
our founding fathers, which is really
yeah.
so depressing to realize when you grew up with an ideal. But, you know, the ideal still lives inside you. You don't have to discard the ideal just because the people who presented it were liars on a lot of things, you know?
Yeah.
Especially
yeah,
as
yeah.
a woman.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll guarantee that one too. Right.
And I wanted to mention, by the way, I came across this week about Jefferson and about the Declaration of Independence and how he did it at the Declaration House in Philadelphia. It was a small building that he did it. And I came across, you know, and these things blow my mind, he was not alone. He had a 14-year-old black slave boy who happened to be the brother of Sally Hemings, who he had several children with.
Right.
And he lives with him. And I read that he dressed him as well as giving him meals. I said, I don't understand upper-class people. You have to have somebody dress you? That just seems
yeah.
– I just couldn't understand that.
It depends on what you mean by dressing. And there's fashions and there's fashions. You know, in colonial days,
yeah.
in the Socratic houses abroad, that, you know, that was something that was done. You were dressed in the morning.
Not in Philadelphia, though. I'm not sure about
yeah.
in Paris when he was there with Sally Hemings.
Yes, but you know how much they duplicated these customs.
Exactly. They emulated.
To
exactly. They wanted
affluence.
To be British. Aristocrats.
Yeah.
All I know is people say I know a lot. Yeah, I know a lot, but I'm always learning new things, and I'm always a little stunned by things I learned that I did not know.
Same here.
It never ends.
Well, stop and think about it. Even in the 1930s, you had your gentleman's gentleman. Here's one for you. How about what was the hell? It had Muffy and Buffy and Kippy and Sebastian.
Family affair, yeah,
family affair.
Affair,
right? He was a gentleman's gentleman.
My grandfather had, you know, and they pinched him off when my grandfather died. He had a butler, a gentleman's gentleman.
Uh-huh.
You know, he took care of the whole house and everything, oversaw.
I'm not talking about serving meals or other things. I don't get that.
He didn't dress him, and that's a little, you know, that is definitely. You think Elizabeth doesn't have help when she gets, Elizabeth Regina, I mean, you know who I'm talking about.
Yes,
gets up in the morning, she probably brushes her teeth and does all her stuff, but when she has to get dressed to go out for any kind of, you think she doesn't have one or two handmaidens there that are,
well,
or
there is someone
that
who is
there
picking out their clothes.
Yeah.
You're picking out the clothes for that particular ceremony
just,
she needs at the end. This
the
is formal. You need to be this. You know, it's
well,
springtime. Go ahead, Sam. I'm sorry.
The queen knows better, but these are the customs, the cultures, and the traditions in high, you know, aristocratic homes. And
yes.
anybody who wants to be affluent in their own, and Jefferson probably did, many of them did, they would affect these, you know, same culture or traditions, And do the same, you know, little Lord Fauntleroy the kid. Go ahead, you know. I mean,
well, all I can say is I would never allow myself to be in a position where somebody dresses me unless I was disabled, God forbid, something like that. But otherwise, I want to decide myself how I dress.
I can understand that, most people, but I will tell you, I have a friend out in California who is, and this is along the same line. She's a buyer. She's an official buyer. She goes and buys the clothes according to the taste of the people that hire her, and she coordinates them and puts them together. You know, this
but,
is not
I mean,
you.
Exactly.
She chooses the clothes, but I'm talking about actually physically dressing in people. I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't fit into that category.
Well, if
well,
you
make
had
sure
to...
that the collar is turned down, you know, that the tie isn't crooked. You know, and they'll have the hairbrush to make sure there's no
lint
and stuff on it.
It's just like people who are, you know, actors who are making movies. They have to be, their clothes have to be just so for the lighting. You think that's all just half thrown on and they walk out?
No.
But that's
no,
being
no,
an actor in a role. That's not everyday life in your own home is what I'm talking about. It's different
well,
if you dress
up. We're not talking about everyday people here. At all.
No. Clearly not.
You take when a celebrity steps out, they are on stage.
Yeah, that's different.
You know,
yeah.
The paparazzi, I mean, come on, let's take a look at that, right?
Well, you know, I don't think that every celebrity walks that gate, but a lot of them, you know, take great pride, and they're dressed like it's Meryl Streep has a dresser for the Oscars. She talks
yeah.
about it, you know. And
but that's an actor. That's different than a normal human being in his own home or her own home. That's what I'm
well,
talking
yeah,
about.
I think she's a pretty normal human being. She's pretty.
Well, you know what I'm saying. No, actually, she's great. Wonderful. I really like her a lot, yeah.
Yeah, she's very talented, and she has the right that's heart cool. and head. But
and her daughters are also very talented.
But people who do these things, my point is, are on people who affect these things to their own lifestyle are looking for affluence and to create a charm or mystery or a specific profile for themselves with the public, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
I will never be
it's
affluent
bullshit.
To that extent. I don't care.
Yeah, that's not in my future either, Ron.
Well, you know, I had growing up, my mother, perhaps your mom too, show us your clothes. Who bought your first suit? You know, as a little boy, who bought your first suit and tie and put it on you?
That's true. That's really
I know who it was. It was Shirley Edna Johnson. That's who did it.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, I had a dresser for years, and every time I showed up in jeans with a blazer on, I got cursed out by my mother. So
that's
I'm
funny.
Coached. Oh,
yeah.
Social
but
suicide. What happened when I go wrong?
Well, but the thing is, gentlemen, that you know people are looking to present themselves, and you have to look. You know, I keep thinking how I'm going to present myself when I get back on the road. You know, what am I going to dress?
Uh-huh.
What kind of an impression do I want to give? I think about it. Yeah. I want to
yeah.
be, and Ron, you have a certain way that you want to impress people in your dress for it too, as a professor, a teacher, don't you?
Actually, I dress the way I feel is appropriate, but I don't spend time worrying if somebody's going to like the way I look. I care about what they, how they react to what I have to say. To me, my elitism
okay,
is intellectual, not material, you know.
That's
yeah,
I
can see that.
Fair. Well, I'm a woman, and I do care about what people are thinking when they see me. You know, especially as I get older, I'm taking greater care with myself. I'm losing
mm-hmm.
weight. I've done a lot of
losing weight too. Honestly, I'm at a stage of life I really don't care how people think about how I look. I don't worry about it. I worry about what they think of what I'm speaking about. That I'm more concerned about, you know, or what I'm writing
yeah.
about. That's just
you know,
me. Something's
them,
wrong.
All
I don't know.
I've got all of the above going on. And then there's circumstances where I'm, you know, in a flannel shirt and a pair of jeans, and I don't give a damn what you think. But there are certain times when you think, okay, I want to present myself in a certain way. But what you're talking about is affluence.
Yes.
That's what it's about. It's about affluence.
Yep. Which I have no connection.
Well, you know, I posted a piece on these. Somebody posted what we called them down here when I was a little girl was walking palms, these palms that have these roots that come up above the ground and they move. You know, if like there's a flood or anything, they'll actually move out of the way, which tells you a lot about the consciousness of the plant kingdom.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But palms, royal palms, queen palms, frizzle palms, you know, date palms themselves, trees, throughout history have been, and they're, you know, they're, most of them are India, Africa, you know, that's where they all live. In tropical islands, but we have taken great pains in this country and in some South American countries and in Crete and Italy and in, oh, just about every, look what the Romans did to bring palms in from Egypt and stuff. It's always been the affluent because it's very caretaking and expensive to move palm trees. And it's right. Just, everybody says the meaning of a palm is prosperity. I think it's affluence myself, because if you look at the history of it, and they're really wonderful, especially royal. Don't you enjoy palm trees, Ron?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Sorry.
Of course.
Okay.
How can you be a flower and not like it?
I'm going to tell you why I laughed. I'm sorry. When I joined the Navy, it was right before Thanksgiving, and they shipped me down to Orlando, Florida to start my basic training down there. And so, you know, I'm going off on this adventure. I'm leaving home. You know, there was a little bit of an apprehension type thing. What am I getting myself into? Am I selling myself into naval servitude and stuff? But the most depressive thing at that moment, and then where my mind was in the frame of my mind was, when we got off the plane and got on the bus to go to the Orlando Navy base, I passed palm trees with Christmas lights in them. I sank so freaking low. I was like, no, trees do not have Christmas lights. No.
That's really nice.
I think it's pretty short, pretty talk. I mean, when I was living up in Boston and the times I've lived in New York or the mountains or whatever, I've always missed the one thing. We were in the original one in 1967, and as a kid, I can remember being in it through Fort Lauderdale in Coleridge area, was the boat parade. And
the boat parade, yeah.
Yeah, I it's a big deal. Boat parade means Christmas to me, you know?
That I can handle. I get that. Well, you know, my grandfather was a waterman. And, you know, on the bay here, and especially here in Annapolis, yes, we have Christmas lights on boats, sailboats, right? Beautiful. I love it.
Yeah. Now, Ron, what is it that you enjoy most about where you live here in South Florida?
Well, I love my house, you know, which I'm going to finish paying off at the end of the year, so it feels great after 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah, 5 more months, and then I'm free from peonage.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And I just like this area. You know, I've been here for 28 years in the house, but 32 years in Florida, but I still have a New York accent.
Yeah,
and when I go on a vacation,
yes,
speak to me, they say, where are you from? I say, Florida. They say, really?
Yeah, don't ever lose that accent either, Professor.
I mean, I can't. It's too late in life to do that.
I was going to say, that is your roots, man. That is your legacy.
You know what's crazy about this state is the fact that people go, God dang, Florida drivers suck. They don't know. It's like the Chinese in Boston. I'm like,
yeah.
Okay. I'm like, okay. Well, first of all, most of the drivers are from New York, New Jersey, Illinois, Maryland, Delaware.
Actually, Illinois is more in Central Florida. Central Florida is Midwest. South Florida is Northeast and Cuba.
Yeah.
And North Florida is Alabama and Georgia.
You're right. I know a lot of
the Ohio's are down around Tampa.
Yeah, so there's Orlando
Tampa.
And Tampa are more Illinois, Michigan, Wisconsin, places
Ohio.
Like that. Not so Northeast, you know.
South Florida is filled with Canadians.
And Canadians also. Oh, yeah. Well, mostly Quebec. Mostly Quebec, yeah.
And
there's an image that they're not good tippers. I've heard about that.
it's
from Quebec,
true.
Are not good tippers. Yeah. That's the rumor anyway, you know.
Canadians have that reputation in South Florida since I was young, yeah. I agree.
Mostly Quebec, not much from Ontario. It's more Quebec. The French Canadians, more it seems.
Well, I'm getting an education, so.
You don't have a whole lot. Now, don't you have summer people on the shore up there?
I'm sorry, one more time now?
Summer people?
No,
what do you mean
summer
people?
It's like certain towns, especially I speak to the Finger Lakes region of upstate New York along the coast of Maine.
Yeah.
They're considered summer town and summer residents. They come for the summer, and that's it.
I will say this. There's on the kind of right across the bay from the latitude of Washington, D.C., but you come across the bay. There's colonial towns of Oxford and St. Michael's. St. Michael's is known for the War of 1812. They used to build ships there, and the British Navy, so they wouldn't get cut off as they were headed up to D.C. and Baltimore, stopped there first, but it was going to be a night bombardment. And the people of the town found out, so what they did was they went downriver towards the mouth of the bay, hung lanterns up in the trees. So when the British fleet came down, they saw all these different lights, thought that was a town, bombed the hell out of the trees.
Oh, boy.
And then went up to Washington, D.C. and, burned the Capitol, right? And the White House, and then on up to Baltimore, the Fort McHenry battle bombardment, and the Star-Spangled Banner. Yeah.
Yep, you're right.
Great.
Good history.
But in the summertime, Oxford and St. Michael's is just packed full of Washington, D.C. license plates. Matter of fact, when W. Bush was in office, Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld, had the states towards between St. Michael's and closer to the bay in that area there. I've had friends there that they were trying to Google it, and just as soon as they got over where Dick Cheney's place was, Google would go black.
Huh.
They would shield it.
Yeah,
we're down to 2 minutes, by the way. So
we are at the end of the show, and I would like to thank our listeners and remind them that we are sponsored by DaughtersOfIsis.com. That's DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, aromacology and homeopathy of the cultures and their traditions. And Ron.
I'm the ProgressiveProfessor.com, and I'm on History News Network under my name, Ronald L. Fineman, and I'm on Twitter at PolitHist, P-O-L-I-T-H-I-S-T, and also on Facebook.
Thanks so much.
And now Wayne.
And Minds and Times of F. Wayne Johnson. I've lived kind of an interesting life, and I've written some true stories about it, and everyone is the sum of their own experiences, and that kind of tells you where I came from, why I got my viewpoints. So.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate
it. It was a good show today. A lot of different things.
I was going to say,
we really enjoyed this show.
We
babbled on. And thank you, gentlemen, very much for being here this evening. I think I was really sweet. I didn't get out of pocket. So, There you go.
Well, but that's one of your endearing qualities, hon.
You're goddamn right. Thank you for listening. Thank you for
love
listening.
Love for you all.
And we will be back next. We will be back next Sunday at 6 p.m. Thank you for listening, and be safe.